Today's gospel comes from the 21st chapter of John, the last chapter of John. After Jesus appeared to his disciples in Jerusalem, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, have you no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it. And now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there, with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them, and thought there were so many, the net was not torn. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time, he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he had said to him for the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them. He was the one who had reclined next to Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who is it that is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus said to him, "If it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? Follow me." So the rumor spread in the community that this disciple would not die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, but, "If it is my will that he remains until I come, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who was testifying to these things and has written them, and we know that his testimony is true. But there are also many other things that Jesus did. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. This is the word of life. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And by the way, when we say this is the word of life, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's right out of Psalm 150. That's why I put that in there. It's just such a nice, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I mean, we can't say that enough, especially in Easter, especially in this joyful Easter tide. Okay, so, you know, if you don't have one of these in your bulletin, well, that's okay, because I want you to hear what I've written first. I'm going to read it, and then we're going to talk about it. And on the back of what I've written are two poems. One, the left-hand one by writer Marie Rilke, is kind of inspired some of what I was writing. And then the second one came after, but it relates, and I'll tell you that in a second. I've kind of found this poetic voice, which for me is, well, it reflects, I mean, this is, well, you're getting how Eric thinks. So we'll decide after a little while whether you like how Eric, well, you've always heard how Eric thinks, but this is just a different way to do it. So you've heard the gospel story. I'll read my reflection, my poem, and then we'll talk about it. We'll have a little time to talk about it. So this is Abracadabra, or Jesus Appears, with the quote from Jesus, "Follow me." A bite of bread, a fragment of fish given for me by the one resurrected. It always starts with the first bite taken. The meal of the message bearer, containing truth beyond taste. The magician of lock manipulation, this thief of death who appeared thrice, moving out of the shadows, proclaiming, "Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness and always see. You will have the light of life that sets you free and is me." The flames of that charcoal fire catch the flash of the sparkle in the eyes of the Lord. A moment where you are captured and captivated by the way and the truth and the life. You are caught by the mystery and image of the deepest kind of revelation, of the deepest kind of knowing, from the unlasting, everlasting. The soul of the divine creator sears your soul as you share fish and bread and breath and warmth. And that fire adds a shadowy depth, the depth of that spirit that is love, that is the Word, that became flesh, then broken flesh, now restored. That sparkle reflecting and refracting, resonating and remembering, putting us back together. And once together, follow me. Give me your hand. Embody me. Don't let yourself lose me. Follow me. Take my sparkle and flare up like flame. Sparkle as unto sparkle, love as unto love, life as unto life, light as unto light. My words from the Word, which was before the beginning of the world, become yours. This magical exchange is to build you up so as to feed my sheep, to move beyond beauty and terror, beyond death and life, beyond faith and fear, to live resurrection, to live as a loved one, living forgiveness, releasing, retaining, to appear as light, carrying my luminescence, a shining beyond flames. Follow me into the flame that cleanses. Follow me into the truth that sets you free. Follow me with every breath, past life and death. Follow me to the next place, the next locker room, the next road to Emmaus, the next fire by the sea. Follow me to the next appearance. Jesus appears. Follow me. Alleluia and amen. One of the things that David talked about art is that when an artist creates, they see something. So this is just what I see in the reading, but I hope in my sharing of what I see that some of these images spark the sparkle in the eye of Jesus. You see that or feel that or hear, in my words, something that resonates with you. Now on the back, if you just turn to the back real quick, the Rilke poem is something a friend gave me, and so some of those, like flare up like a flame, are on my poem. I put in italics so that you know that parts of that poem I used to in this reflection. Now, after I wrote this and after I thought more about this reading, I came across this poem by Gwendolyn Brooks, who was the first African-American woman to win a Pulitzer Prize in 1950. Just an interesting note. And it was actually for writing and not poetry. She did both prose and poetry. But this is her poem, which it's a great poem, and I'll tell you why I love it. Speech to the young, speech to the progress toward, among them Nora and Henry III. This is her poem. Say to them, say to the downkeepers, the sun slappers, the soul spoiler, the self spoilers, the harmony hushers, even if you are not ready for day, it cannot always be night. You will be right. For that is the hard home run. Live not the battles won. Live not for the end of the song. Live in the along. I like that last line so much. Live the along. Live in the along. I mean, that's what life is, right? Living as we move along. And as faithful people, we want to think about what it means to follow me when Jesus is saying that to us. Follow me, he says. Follow me. So, that's enough of me for a second. Any thoughts? There's a lot of people going, I don't know if you're like, are you done yet, Pastor Eric? Or maybe you're thinking about stuff. I hope you're thinking about stuff. But anything that just bubbles up for you all in anything that you're willing to share out loud with this family at this moment. Yes, okay, Ken has one, yes.
In reference to follow me, I think sometimes it's hard to sort of comprehend, not physically following Jesus. I don't know where, I can't see him, but I guess, what does following mean? Following his teachings, following the things that he lived?
Yeah. What does the follow me mean? Yeah, I only said that like 30 times in my poem, so I thought it meant something. Does anybody else resonate with that? What does follow me mean? Anybody have any ideas of your own thought?
Well, it's different for each of us.
Different for each of us, for sure. For me, following doesn't just simply mean I'm going to follow Pastor Beth like a puppy wherever she's going, you know, because I'm waiting for my next meal. You know, that. Hey, I'm a lot like a puppy, I just realized. Maybe you all knew that, and I just realized that now. But following means more than that. I think that's a great question, Ken, because when Jesus says, follow me, I mean, he gives us instructions about what following me means in terms of teaching. Yeah, love your neighbor as yourself. So every moment, and that's why I like this, live in the along. Every moment that we move along, there's always something that comes up in Jesus' name. Jesus is there. That's the part of the follow me, I think, and what resurrection is, this joyful Easter tide, this tsunami of grace that goes ahead of us. Jesus is waiting. Or Jesus is standing at the seashore after we've fished, gone fishing, and we haven't caught anything. And Jesus says, hey, remember when I was talking about following me? Here's a thing. Here's a love your neighbor thing. I'm right here for you. I'll be here with you. And I'm going to go on ahead too, but I'm here. Love your neighbor as yourself. And then we move along, live in the along, love your neighbor. I mean, following Jesus is mystical because it is different for everyone. And Jesus is big enough to encompass everyone because Jesus came from our Creator God. And that's mind-blowing. And you can't wrap your mind about it around it. All you can do is try and follow Him. And where those moments of love come, He embraces them. Yeah. Anyone else? Any other things? Yes, from Gwendolyn Brooks. That's a fantastic passage, and The Gospel of John is so much into light. It's in the 1st and 2nd and 3rd John. All talk about Jesus as light. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the light of the world. Jesus Christ, you are the light of the world. That's how we start a liturgy. That light is powerful. Yeah, that's it. That's one of the other reasons that even if you are not ready for day, it cannot always be night. You can find faith somewhere. Whether you're a Jesus follower or not, if you read most accounts, like of people who have survived Holocaust, they had to attach themselves to something to get out of that. They had to have seen a sparkle somewhere, a moment somewhere where there was light to help them get through, live the along. Yeah. Yeah. Yes?
I have a large portrait on my dresser at home by Richard Hook. He has that Jesus that glint in his eyes.
Yeah.
And when I wake up in the morning, I see Jesus follow me.
Right. Follow with the glint in the eye, like, oh boy, what do I got now in store? Right. Yep. That's perfect. That's almost like an iconic prayer thing where Jesus, I mean, where you have that reminder. Maybe we all need that one. That's a good one. And that's why I like that image of sparkle, because, you know, when you go to, if you've ever been around a fire, you know, they're awesome, first of all. And there are those sparkly kinds of moments, you know. Or if you've ever met people who, you know, those people who, well, Pastor Nelson is one of them. You start talking with him, and then you say something to him, and his eyes sparkle. You know, he's the creative type. You know, there's something a brewing. And it's definitely the same with Jesus. And it can be a good thing and a scary thing simultaneously. but it's never a boring thing. Yeah. All right, one last image. Any other? Live in the along. Yep.
Dragging along past that I have, it's looking forward to the beginning.
Okay, that's good. She said, I like the living in the long because it's not me dragging the past, it's looking forward to the beginning, looking forward to the next. What's the next? Yeah, good stuff. All right, well, this is the latest iteration of Pastor Eric, so we'll see what happens the next time I preach. But it's probably going to involve poetry, so just be ready. And it's all good because Jesus said, follow me. Amen.